Welcome to I Feel Tried, the podcast. I'm Dez, and joining me in just a minute is somebody very special from one of my freaking favorite shows. Oh my gosh, you guys, seriously, growing up, I used to watch this show, and I used to tell people, you know, my biggest dream is to be on this show when I grow up. You know, forget selling a platinum record or having a number one hit. I want to be on this show. That was like a legit thing I used to tell people. So obviously I'm very, very excited to be able to talk about that. But first, if you're playing our drinking game this week, what's my favorite word? Anytime you hear,
it's official,
take a sip of whatever you're drinking. Yay. Okay. Well, without further ado, here we go. My guest this week is a model, an influencer, and a body positive advocate. She was an official house guest on season 21 of CBS's Big Brother, where she became the first person of her season to win head of household and power of veto in the same week. Welcome to the show, Jessica Milagros.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. As great as someone can do on a Monday during quarantine.
Kind of like a double whammy.
every day is pretty much the same right now, so
yeah, okay. Definitely. You what part of the country are you in right now?
I live in Chicago.
Chicago. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Is that where you're originally from?
I was pretty much raised here, and it for the most part it's We're having a good winter. So what, it's like middle of December, we're at like maybe 35. That's good. It hasn't snowed yet, so we're not below zero. Things are looking up.
Nice. Right on, right on. Well, I want to thank you again for just taking time away from your schedule to be here. I have a lot of Big Brother related questions for you.
Awesome.
But first, I just wanted to catch up and see, what have you been up to since we last saw you on last season of Big Brother?
Wow, so much, right? There's so many little projects. I mean, obviously things have kind of calmed down since the pandemic, unfortunately, and that really kind of hit big in my industry, because obviously sets, photo shoots, and things of that nature are, there's a lot of people involved in those productions. So ultimately, I have done a few. I was in most recently in a commercial for a big international brand out in Canada and in front, like in Vancouver, Montreal, Quebec. It was really fun. Also, you know, doing little things here and there, but now mostly recapping a lot of Big Brother. We were recapping. I have my own YouTube show with another guest from Big Brother, from my season of Big Brother, Kemi, and we pretty much recap a lot of different reality shows. So we were recapping Big Brother, we're currently recapping The Bachelorette, and we just started recapping The Challenge. So as you know, I'm a pretty big gamer, and I don't think people really realized it. So
yeah, did you grow up watching The Challenge like I did since I was like nine?
Oh my god! I'm a little bit older, so I was actually watching The Challenge, and they were about my age. Very close to being my age. I wasn't nine, unfortunately, but I've been watching The Challenge on and off, of course, since when it was like a real world road rules challenge, you know?
Yes, same here.
Changing same here. Like Inferno and,
you know, yes.
Yeah, so.
Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah, and now they're on 36, you know?
Oh my God.
It's just crazy. But it's nice to see some people that I grew up with on the show. Like, I mean, I grew up with watching CT.
Yeah.
I grew up watching Anissa. So
yes,
those people, I'm just like, wow, how it's evolved. And now people that I know that are actually on the show, because you know, of the Big Brother Connect. So
I love that they're doing that crossover. That is like a dream for somebody who watches both separately to merge them into one. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's really, it's very surreal for me to be like, wow, I actually know this person. I was hanging out with them not too long ago. And being able to connect with them and, I don't know, understand the journey. Because even though it's different on each show, there are some similarities. So
absolutely, absolutely. So with the whole lockdown and corona and everything, I'm sure it kind of feels a little bit familiar with living in the Big Brother house. You were basically in quarantine last summer too.
Yeah.
Did that give you any sort of preparation for what this has been, or is it just a whole other? I mean, obviously it is a whole other story, but
it is a whole, I feel like it is a whole other, and here's like the reason why. I mean, a lot of the Big Brother house guests, they kind of play around and they're like, oh, well, I did it for this many days. I mean, this is going to be a piece of cake, but I actually consider it to be worse. mainly because
Big Brother, know, that is?
No, the pandemic. I'd rather on a season of Big Brother any day of the week than to be, you know, going through this for as long as we have. And I think that that's the issue. It's just like, there's no end that we see that's completely near. Like, at least we knew, it's like, if you're going to make it to the end, you're there for 99 days. If you get to jury, you're there for 99 days. We don't have our phones. You're kind of like in this little bubble. All of the responsibility is taken away from you. So people are getting your groceries. You're not paying your bills. You don't have contact to anybody outside. You're not on your phone just like wondering what people are doing and comparing yourself. Like, those are all things I feel that are just like mentally debilitating to some extent. So, I mean,
they restrict the number of times that you go outside, right? How often is that available? It's the backyard to see the sun.
I know, it sounds so horrible. Usually we have about 2 days of sunshine a week.
It's official.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, because wow. They also use the backyard. They also use the backyard for our competitions. So they'll pretty much give us, if we're lucky, two full days, and then they'll shut it down and they'll start building. And really, depending on how big the build is.
Yeah, because some of the challenges have like extravagant sets, right? Where there's like, I mean, like a the comic book challenge, right? I'm sure that takes a lot of setup.
Well, but there's also like, you're also playing the veto and the head of household there. So technically, it's they're building for two competitions, you know. So as soon as they're building one and you play that, they tear it down and they put it up for, you know, for the veto. So I wasn't really expecting not having that much sunshine. And then there's no windows, so you don't get any type of light other than studio lighting.
Or the moon. I think a lot of people just only think of the sun, but you don't get to go outside at night and you don't get to see the moon. And geez, if you only get it twice a day or twice a week, it's like, oh my gosh.
There was always this one moment right before, because there are studio lights outside, almost like stadium lights. So you never get to see like nighttime, really. Like, it's open, but you don't see the stars or like really nighttime because of the studio lighting and these. But there was like this hour where it was like getting so dark, and it was like that dusk where it's like, oh, the lights aren't on yet, but it's like nice and dark. And that was like one of my favorite times to be outside.
Aww.
There's no sun, but it's not like 100% dark. It's right before they turn on those ballpark stadium lights.
Yeah, it's the little things, huh, that you probably
it is little things. When you take them away from you, you start to appreciate absolutely everything.
I bet. Well, I want to get to know you a little bit better outside of the Big Brother house, and for our listeners that maybe aren't familiar. So this is a little segment that we call This or That.
Okay.
So what I have for you are six pairs of various objects. You're just going to tell me which you prefer.
Okay.
So number one, East Coast or West Coast?
Ooh. I'm going to do that for everything. I'm going to say West Coast.
Yes, I'm so excited. I think I've only had one person say East Coast, and I was like, well, I can't fault you. You're from there. Number two, Spotify or Apple Music?
Spotify. Yeah. Actually, wait, neither, to be quite honest. Pandora.
Oh, you're still on Pandora? What?
Does that make me only like... say, wait, Pandora actually came out with a new Pandora. And actually, it's more like Spotify, too. I'm the type of girl where I like a mix of everything, so I just put down, like, Alicia Keys,
Rihanna,
video, and then it gives me, like, all this stuff. I don't really like to listen to a complete album anymore, mm-hmm. at least.
Okay. That's fair. So they're making it more, like, user-friendly so you can make your own playlists and stuff like that?
Yeah, that.
Okay. Okay, well then. Okay. Well, everybody, check out Pandora. Number three, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs, yes.
I'm a dog girl. I don't have one, but I love dogs.
And number four, would you rather spend 1 month with no phone or no alcohol?
God, I've gone without both, so I'm trying to think.
I don't even know if you're a drinker, but...
I am. Okay. I am. I mean, not... I've calmed down lately, but gosh. I guess I would say no alcohol.
No alcohol. Luckily, you don't actually have to. This is...
the funny thing is that is actually... Like, I went with a month without my phone and without alcohol in the Big Brother house. Like, you don't get either. So...
You don't get alcohol?
No. We would get, like... we would get a bottle. I know. We would get either... every 3 weeks or so, you would get two bottles of wine and like a six pack of beer to share between like 16 people.
Oh God.
So no. So at times we were just like, why even bother? Don't like, this makes no sense.
No wonder nobody's ever drunk on Big Brother.
Well, they used to be, and I think that's why they stopped.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that. Wow.
Previous house guests have messed up for us.
Number five. A puzzle competition or a memory competition?
Memory all the way.
Memory? Oh my God. I would not be good at that.
That's what I was pretty much known for in the house. Like I'll leave the puzzles to my girl Kat. She's a puzzle queen.
Yes.
I can remember things. So.
And HOH or Power Veto?
Ah.
Winning. Which would you rather win? You've done both.
I know. I've done both. I would probably either in one set, well, Power of Veto always, because it always makes you're always able to keep safe and get less blood on your hands, really.
Yeah.
So I would probably say Power of Veto.
Okay, that's cool. That's good. Did you
it's
watch?
It's stressful to be HOH.
Oh my gosh, I bet. And especially early on when like everybody, there's no, drama yet or there's no conflict.
Yeah, because you're kind of creating that. So, agreed.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I would think it's just a really fair route to go if you're doing it based off performance. I mean, is that like a excuse? I mean, I know I've heard it on the show multiple seasons, but I would think like if you're the first one or something, it's like, okay, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually what they say. Our first one wasn't really about like performance, so to speak. It was just like I least connect with you know.
Yeah.
If some people want to be fair, and I guess that would be a fair assumption, but competitions, you can be good at one and not good in another. So
yeah, that's true. Did you watch All Stars this year?
I did. We recapped it in honor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so what do you think? Are you a fan of the winner? Were you rooting for Cody?
I wasn't necessarily rooting for Cody. It would be very rare, although, you know, I mean, I'm friends with a lot of alpha males. It's very rare that I'll be rooting for an alpha male to win a competition.
Yeah, I heard that.
I feel like all of mine kind of went really early on. So at the end, you know, at the end of it all, like, I'm really happy for Cody. He did deserve it. He did play, in my opinion, the best. Look, if you're gonna keep a threat like that, I mean, I felt like he was a massive threat really early on. if you're going to keep a threat like that in the house, then he deserves to win.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm like you. We had Polly, Cody's brother, on the show. So he was obviously endorsing his brother. So I got to say, I was rooting for him in that sense. But, you know, I definitely was rooting for like Davon and Janelle. I love Janelle was the first season that I watched. I first started watching like the tail end of season 7, which was the first All-Stars.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, Janelle, like, that's like a badass woman who's like going in there. She's winning competitions. She's not letting other people control whether she's in the house or not. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. And actually, that's funny because, yeah, Janelle was on my draft, in my draft for the season. Davon was a top pick for me too. Yeah, I wanted Kacer to go really far.
Yeah,
you know, so there were already, I mean, obviously it's All-Stars, so there were so many great, what I thought were going to be great players going in. And so, I mean, they just, once that big alliance hit and it was just becoming very predictable. So
yes,
and I like it when it's like one side wins and the next side wins, You just kind of want that back and forth. So
absolutely, it makes it interesting. It makes it a competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So did you agree with BB's choice to give David Alexander another shot in the game on an All-Star season?
You know, that one's always so, I feel like it's always so controversial. I believe that David did deserve a second chance. But it, because I feel like, I don't know if that's purist thinking or whatnot, but like All-Stars, I felt like he was a little misplaced, you know, and nothing to do with him because he's a stand-up guy. He definitely deserved a second chance. I just think that the fact that he didn't know how to play the game and he was with people who were already
legends,
their third, you know, their third stint, their fourth stint in the game. I just felt like it was unfair for him more so, you know, because there's a lot of pressure that's being put on you. There was a lot of backlash on him for even being there in the first place, you know, which is not his fault at all. That's definitely the people who put him there, you know? I was hoping to kind of see him on like a second chances or as a returning player with other like new players, things of that nature, because that's kind of what I felt would have been more his speed, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but he still did relatively good.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, he made jury, and to make jury in a place like that, it's not easy.
And I know in one of his final speeches, he mentioned that he was the first Black male to be in jury since like the last All-Stars, right? So that was a big accomplishment.
No, that's a lie.
Oh, was it? I didn't fact check it.
Because Kevin's the first one. Kevin's the last person who made jury, and he was on season 12.
Oh, okay. See, I thought Kevin was before, but no, I must have seen him then.
He was in. Oh, okay. He was in 11.
Ooh, was Kevin there in the room when he said that? Then I didn't.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh. And I just felt so bad sometimes because I mean he is a, you know, he's a Black man. I mean, like, he's Asian, he's Black, but, you know, I mean, why does he have to choose? In my mm-hmm. opinion, you know, like, if he identifies as both, he identifies as both. And some people may not agree with that, but
it's not up for debate.
I felt so bad that when people would talk and he'd be in the room, they would talk about being Black and it would just completely dismiss him sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, he wasn't in the room, but yeah, unfortunately he was in the room for that. So, but he was the last Black male to be in jury. And I mean, he was third. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big,
oh, absolutely.
He did himself. And he also made jury again. So
there you go. There you go. So, well, I mean, so good on both of them. I guess he just should have fact checked it. But yeah, good on both.
Maybe he said, like, I mean, 100% Black. I don't know. Maybe if he
probably just didn't fact check it. I don't know.
Okay. Because I mean, he didn't watch all of the 22 seasons anyway. So I'm pretty sure.
Wait, don't press fast forward just yet. I learned about a game-changing new alternative to alcohol and an antidote to modern times. Recess is an all-natural, low-sugar, low-carb, and organic sparkling water designed to make you feel calm, focused, and to inspire you to be your most productive self. Recess is more than just another CBD company. They combine calming hemp extract and balancing adaptogens to keep you calm, cool, collected. Recess is certified 0.0% THC and does not align itself with marijuana. Right now, there are 6 delicious flavors to choose from. Black cherry, pomegranate hibiscus, blood orange, peach ginger, coconut lime, and blackberry chai. Recess has designed a feeling and they want to share that feeling with the world. Use the code IFEELTRIED at time of purchase to receive 15% off any beverage, any apparel, or any subscription. Visit takearecess.com to place your order today. Here. Is anyone else like me and you haven't quite finished your holiday shopping yet? Yeah, I mean, my own list is taken care of. But for those of you that are shopping for people you love and appreciate, Blenders Eyewear is offering you 16% off your entire purchase. That includes their sunglasses, their snow goggles, and their blue light lenses, which help protect your eyes from the harsh lights coming from smartphones, tablets, and computers. And since so many of us are working from home or doing distance learning, Zoom calls and emails, oh my gosh, the list goes on. These lenses are made to protect you from long hours on your computer screen. Also, be sure to check out their accessories, which include beanies, face masks, and cords for all types of glasses. Once again, use the code DES16 at blenderseyewear.com for 16% off your entire purchase. Or you can visit my Instagram page and there's a direct link there that will apply the code automatically so you don't forget to do that when you check out. It's definitely been done before. So good luck with the rest of your shopping and Merry Christmas from me to you. Welcome back. Okay, so there's a famous moment from an HOH competition that turned into memes and GIFs or GIFs. So I want to get your reaction to seeing a scary moment for you turn into a social media frenzy.
I was not expecting that. During that moment, to be quite honest, it was one of the scariest things I had ever done. I honestly didn't think that I was afraid of heights, but what a lot of people don't realize is that we had to get up on ladders. Like we were on 8-foot ladders to get on top of that. So I was a good 7 to 8 feet off the ground. Yeah. And I'm a big girl. Like anything, my thought process was like, it doesn't matter if I make this or if I don't. I have the only way to get off of this is down. Like I have to jump. I have to fall.
It's official.
Usually they give you the rules ahead of time and they're just like, okay, well, if you need to fall, safety first, always try to fall on your back or fall on your side. But the wall was like, you're falling face front.
It was slanted, yeah.
Yeah, and it was slanted. And so you didn't really have time to prepare to like fall on your back or fall on your side. It was just damn near impossible. So
yeah, it's too much thinking. If you're losing your grip, hello.
It is. I mean, I tried to stay on as long as I could, but I started to slip and that's when I like freaked out. And when I fall or something happens, I feel like screaming actually makes it hurt less. I don't know. Okay.
It's a release. You're channeling.
It's a release. You know, like when they say when you're working out, you should be breathing, you know, breathe in, breathe out. And you're just like, you know, like that. Well, I just happened to scream.
To scream. There you go.
I just happened to scream. I didn't think of anything of it until the girls were really like laughing about it. And they're like, wow, that was so dramatic. And I was like, really? I
they were telling you that from the wall?
No, they were telling me that after the fact. Like, once everybody was down, we were in our rooms, all of that stuff. And they would say, like, Jess, I love you, but oh my God, you were hilarious in that fall. You were so dramatic. That scream and like, and I was like, what? What do you mean? Because it seemed very normal to me.
Yeah.
So
reaction.
And then coming out of the house, when I saw that gif and I saw all of the other memes of like my face and my reaction to certain things, I was like, wow.
Did you think it was shady of like editing and production to really highlight it?
Big Brother, that's their thing, you know. They kind of take everything tongue in cheek. They try to make everything, you know, kind of funny. So I wasn't really offended. I think some people loved it. There were little girls that would literally ask me to do the scream that they like loved me. And other people
that's kind of weird.
Did it to kind of taunt me and make fun of me. So you kind of have a little bit of both, but ultimately it happened and it was funny. And I mean, and they changed the meme to they put it to music.
Yeah.
They put it to a video game.
I think I saw that one.
A ton of my screams like on different memes, like on different other clips. I just got used to it.
Well, you're part of a memorable moment in that season.
Exactly.
People remember you. I want to ask another behind the scenes question. I always kind of wondered this to myself. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of like friends in my everyday life that watch Big Brother. So whenever I meet somebody that does, I'm like, okay, let's talk about everything. So one thing I noticed is how you would always greet the host, Julie Chen, by saying, hola, Julie.
Yeah.
And on the live shows and in your interviews. Yeah. And so I wanted to ask, was that a choice that you made, or did production or anybody encourage you to play up, you know, being Latina and those Hispanic references?
So that's a twofold, right? So nobody asked me to do that. I was super animated, and we don't get to see Julie a lot. So, I mean, we don't get to see Julie at all physically. We see her when we come in the house, and we see her when we leave the house. Those are the only two. Otherwise, it's just a screen, right? Mm-hmm. But when we would hear her, it would just be, everybody would always be so excited, because you're wondering, like, why are these people so excited? They're always so peppy and blah, blah, blah. I was so excited. So when I get excited, I get louder, I get like more bubbly. And for me, I do say hola sometimes. And that was just like something that came out of me. However, there were times where people would ask me, hey, would you like to say something in Spanish? Or would you like to say like, and most of the times I'd be like, no. Cause like the only thing I wanted to say was hola. And it was just like, I mean, I don't want to be anybody's Spanish teacher. You know, I did like, you want to say things when they feel comfortable to you. For me, I say hola to everybody. Like if I walk in, I'll be like, hola, you know, and I'm walking around and
It just crossed my mind. I mean, as a fellow Latino, just because, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later, but just because it's very apparent with the casting on mostly being white people. So as somebody who experiences that too, where people will just kind of expect me to speak Spanish, so they say hola, or you know, different examples like that, it caught my eye and was like, I wonder if they're just trying to play it up so that they're being like, oh, see, look, we are inclusive, we have more than just white people. So it's cool that I get the opportunity to ask you that.
I totally get it. And I mean, that's the issue that we all have when you're being cast for things like this, right? Because there are always some like typecasts. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your token black person, you have your token Latino person, you have your token gay person, and then everybody else. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't really speak on whether or not I got casted because I was Latina, or if it helped me, obviously, in getting casted because I was Latina, and they were looking for someone who was body positive, and they were looking for someone who maybe was a different build and had a little bit more of that athletic ability as a bigger person. Like, there were so many things. But it's something that I feel like we all face when you're a person of color, that's always in the back of your mind on whether that's the reason, you know, they chose you to be inclusive in that diversity, you know, in that diversity.
So how did that go with the audition process then? Were you a fan of the show when you decided?
I was a fan of the show. So the funny thing was, is that I actually got called. So I was recruited. A lot of people ask me, oh, your audition video, yada, yada. And it's like, sorry guys, I am a fan, but I was recruited. The funny thing though, was that I was recruited on the day that I was recording one of the videos to submit.
Oh, wow.
To be on the show. Wow. So it was funny because I had been talking about Big Brother a lot, and my best friend was also, she was going to apply, and we were going, literally, we had the camera, we were like, what are we gonna shoot, how are we gonna submit, what are we gonna do? And then I get a DM, and it's like, hi, you know, we're from a show called Big Brother. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Because wow. I am videotaping a submission tape right now. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. And then from there, I went through the rest of the whole process, which is pretty long. I would say it was close to 3 months long.
Are you still close with any of the other house guests from your season? I know you mentioned Kemi, who you do a show with on YouTube.
Yeah. Probably the one person that I talk probably the most, because we have, you know, the show, so we're way more in touch. Also Kat from my season, when she's not traveling the world, or she's not in Mexico somewhere, where she has been. But yeah, every so often I'll message those two. Everybody else is really touch and go. Sometimes it's saying happy birthday or happy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Other people, not at all. I mean, have you watched my season? It would be near impossible to stay friends with all those people.
Yeah.
Especially when you wouldn't be friends with them typically.
Yeah. And then especially after seeing like interviews or their diary rooms, probably where you're like, oh, ew, they're like that.
Yeah.
That's how I would be.
Like, well, I don't get along with you anyway, but I was making the effort and now I see how you really are. So it doesn't really make sense to keep it going. But on the flip side, I've really like made good friends with different house guests and, you know,
from other seasons
and
good.
Canada. That is what I truly enjoy, is being able to really connect with the other people that I used to fangirl over, you know?
It's official.
You mentioned BB Canada, so I think that would be a good segue into our next game. This is called Have They Been Evicted? So I have a list of 10 celebrities who may or may not have been on Celebrity Big Brother. Your job is to tell me whether you think they've been evicted before. So keep in mind, this can be from the UK version, the US version, Canada, all Big Brothers.
Oh, wow.
So just a yes or no. You don't have to give it too much thought.
Got it.
Okay. Number one, Kelly Ripa.
Was not evicted.
You're right. Tiffany Pollard from I Love New York.
Was evicted. Yes. Okay.
Don't you love her? Oh my God. I love it.
You said Tiffany Pollard, and for some reason I was like, I know that person. Why?
Yeah. Where do I know that name?
Where do I know that? Yeah.
The HBIC. Yeah.
The true OG.
Yes. How about Spencer Pratt?
Was not evicted?
He was evicted, yes.
On what?
He was on Celebrity Big Brother UK season 11.
Wow. There's 11 seasons of Celebrity Big Brother UK. What?
Girl, you're going to learn there's a lot more than that when we get through this. Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Absolutely.
You literally just open up a whole nother space that I should not be in, but I might have to start binge watching.
Yes, right? Quarantine, I got this. How about Kylie Minogue?
I'm going to say no. Please.
You're right.
Okay, I was like, Kylie Minogue is way too big of a celebrity to be on Celebrity Big Brother UK. I mean, no, because it's like, okay, Spencer Pratt, Tiffany Pollard, they're all like US people. So that to be UK celebrities is fine. But like when you are the UK, I mean, I feel like
that would be like Adele being on or like Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly.
I get what you mean.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. How about Farrah Abraham?
Who?
Oh, Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abraham.
Do you know who that is? You're allowed. You can tell me if you don't know who they are.
No, I don't know who that is. Maybe I do, but it sounds
familiar. She's like one of the most famous, I don't want to knock the other girls, so I'll say one of the most famous teen moms from that series on MTV.
Oh.
She's the one who got into the adult industry.
No, I never watched a season of Teen Mom, so I'm not hip to that. But I'm going to say yes.
You're right. She was on season 16 of Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kidding me. 16 episodes. We can't even get the third one here in the US. What is up with that?
Right. And how many years did it take to get the first one? Oh my gosh.
Okay. We're way behind.
Lisa Vanderpump.
No. Has not.
You're right.
Been
good. I would love it.
I would love it too, but she doesn't peg me as someone who would go on.
Absolutely. That. She's like, I don't need it.
You're like, what? You let me know. No.
No. LaToya Jackson.
LaToya Jackson. Whoa. I'm going to say no.
She was on season 6 of Big Brother UK.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is like, you're literally blowing my mind right now.
Yes. There's so much. I know, right? I need to figure out a way to watch all these too, because I've seen clips, you know, because I wanted to see like Aubrey O'Day, who is not on this list. I wanted to see Aubrey and New York and Farrah.
So Aubrey was on Celebrity Big Brother as well?
Yeah, wow. In the UK.
I remember watching her on X on the Beach, and I was like, whoa, girl. Completely different than what I remember her.
I know. That was a rough loss. Oh my god. Let's
I was like, girl, she was gorgeous. What is going on?
Oh, well, her attitude was crazy. Is like, you know, she just got all cocky and talking about, I own a house, like, why are you here? Yeah, she just she didn't come off as being the Aubrey that I know from Danity Kane.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How about Mike the Situation? Mr. GTL.
I'm gonna say yes.
You are right. From UK season 10.
He looks like someone that would have been like, sure.
Right?
Why not?
I want to see all these on the US version, you know. How about Ricky Martin?
No.
Man, you're confident. I had to look it up because I just thought of his name, like, probably.
No. He's too much of a, I mean, no shade to anybody else, but no.
No.
Ricky had way too much going on. He was way too booked and busy.
There you go. There you go. And the last one, Caitlyn Jenner.
No.
She was. No, I'm just kidding. No, she wasn't. But she was heavily rumored to be on, I think, the last season or 2 years ago or something at that extent.
Not right. I mean, I would have been very interested to see that, though.
Well, she did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here or something like that. In the like where you're in like the rainforest and random, very, very random. Yeah.
Sometimes my husband says that I'm way too into pop culture sometimes, but seriously, you made me feel like I know Jack Diddle.
Oh, no.
Like, wait, I need to catch up on my pop culture because obviously there's 16 seasons of a show that I was on in the UK that I know nothing about. So
there's 17, but we didn't have anybody here from the 17th. But yeah, I know it's a whole binge worthy like few days or weeks probably. I don't know.
I know. Those are long episodes. I don't know.
Absolutely.
So much more fun watching the drama than being in the drama, to be quite honest. But
oh my God, I can't even imagine living in that. And I mean, I would love to be on Big Brother. But then when I, like, to me, it sounds like a great idea. I was going to go to the audition this year. They were doing an in-person one. And then Corona hit, so they canceled it the night before. So I'm like, no. And then it turned into All-Stars anyway. So it's just so many signs. This year is not for me. 2021, I'm coming for you.
There you go.
It's official.
But then I, like, played out in my head. Do I really want to, like, be in an environment of every minute of every day where you're just not sure if people are blatantly lying to you and, like, going around and sharing a private conversation you thought was private, like, the minute after to another person that doesn't give a shit about you?
That's the worst. That really is the worst. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. And yeah.
Who is the worst at that?
At keeping a secret?
At just running back and forth. Like, we just had this conversation. How did this person find out about that?
Oh, hands down, Bella.
Yes, oh my God, that's right.
That woman could not keep a secret to save her soul.
She blew up the Woman Alliance, the Black Widows.
She blew up our alliance literally in 90 minutes after it was done. Like, she had told Nick. I remember going in. There was a moment and this was pre. Well, I'll tell you a little. Some tea, because this was actually pre live feeds, because you know we're in house for a straight week before cameras actually turn on, so we're getting to know each other, you know, we're kind of going through the learning curve that it is to be on live TV,
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So during that time, I remember the girls were all in one of the bedrooms, and this was already when Kat was being rumored to be up, like, to be nominated. She was going to be nominated. There was already HOH, but no cameras. And she was like, hey guys, don't worry about Mickey. I got him. He's not going to turn on us. She kind of mentioned kind of like that she had him wrapped around her fingers in a way or whatever. And we're like, cool. We're not going to worry about Jackson. Perfect. And Bella looked at me and she's like, come with me. And I was like, okay. We walked and she went all the way from the bedroom all the way back to the boat room. And whoever was there, she was looking for people. And then there was like about five people in the boat room. And she's like, I just want to let you know that Kat told me that she has Jackson wrapped around her finger. Like, that's how messy it was. And it was like, and I just like watched this and I was like, duly noted, do not talk about absolutely anything.
No. Ugh, that's such a disappointment, man.
And I was just like, wow, that's a hot mess in a house. So, you know, I knew that the Black Widows was not gonna stay. Like, the only reason I agreed to it was because Bella was in it, and I would rather be in an alliance with Bella and know, like, what she was doing and get information from her rather than be on the bad side.
Yeah.
But the fact that I feel like she put it together specifically just to throw people under the bus was just like, she's a messy girl. So
I remember.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you say no, really? If someone says, hey, do you want to work to, do you blatantly be like, oh, I don't think so, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, and then later on, we find out that she didn't watch Big Brother. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't the biggest strategic person. So I'm sure that she, you know, didn't know that it would probably be to her benefit. I think a lot of people on the show, on our season, talk about how she was in such a prime position to really just ride it the whole way through, because she was in the middle of the whole chaos. She wasn't like top dog and she wasn't at the bottom of the list. She was in pretty much every alliance. She could have really kept all of that to herself and worked it to her advantage.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was doing some scrolling through Big Brother Twitter, and the super fans have clocked that the winners list on CBS.com is leaving out the season 21 winner, Mickey or Jackson. Wow. Do you have any theories as to why this season's winner is being excluded?
That's a good question. I don't know if I was two guests because they also don't have right now. I was going to give it the benefit of the doubt because they also don't have the season 22 winner yet. So I'm assuming that they fired their intern or they got COVID and was not able to update the list.
That's cute. I like that.
You know,
that's a thoughtful answer.
The pandemic happened. They realized we don't need interns coming into the office.
Of course.
They were the ones who were updating the list. And it just, you know, went down to the bottom of their priority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Case solved.
I mean, caso cerrado. That's a my mom always used to say. Case
closed. It's official.
Well, it seems like each season the viewers are getting more and more passionate about their opinions of the cast. People are constantly trying to cancel the house guests based on their words, their actions, and reactions. How do you feel about this dynamic of the show?
You know what? I be quite honest, I'm not a big fan of cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that it serves a purpose other than, I don't know, make someone lose their job. It's not very conducive in someone to like learning what they've done wrong and give them an ability to grow. So I personally hate it. Twitter is an ugly place. You know, we have some of the best and most savage fan base. Some of them very, very toxic. And I personally hate it. Do I feel that there are a lot of people in the Big Brother community that need to change and need to learn and need to grow and probably shouldn't have any more opportunities to be on screen? Yes, absolutely. Do I feel like...
I know who you're talking about.
You know, do I feel like they should be threatened and, you know, and have people, you know, threatening their lives and their livelihood and things of that nature? No, not unless it's just, you know, the thing is that for me, cancel culture only works on certain people that make their money off of, like, off of the public, you know, off of public persona. Okay, so one person doesn't get hurt by it because they don't have, you know, a digital footprint. You know, you can't find them. You can't, you know, they literally are working. You don't know where they work. You don't know what's going on. But the other person who is probably just laughing at a, I don't know, at a joke, ends up getting taken everything away from them because they happen to have brands and companies that you have easy access to, you know, and ends up getting the grunt end of that when, I mean, it's a very touchy, you know, for me, it's just a very touchy subject. I feel like let them learn, let them grow, but cancel, and to be quite honest, they're not canceled everywhere. You could cancel them on Twitter and they're perfectly fine thriving on TikTok, you know, so it doesn't serve a purpose in my opinion.
What's your reaction to CBS officially promising a 50% diverse cast for upcoming reality shows moving forward?
I think it's about time. I'm very happy. I know people wanted that to happen a lot sooner than it did, but let's celebrate that it actually is happening because they didn't have to. Whether it's, so, I mean, I know some people talk about it being performative or whatever, that because of the times, I say, hey, let's be happy that it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing the cast, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing a person of color win this season because they have just better odds at it.
Yes, absolutely. And more than just one gay person, more than just one black person, more than one Latina, you know?
Yeah.
Because they don't have a problem putting more than one white person, more than one straight person, you know, so.
Yeah. It's funny because even with All Stars.
Yeah.
Them having, well, no, they still had like about maybe six people or so. I think they always average at 30%. There were zero Latinos on the season. Mm-hmm. And I think none of my family watches it. Actually, this was the first time they watched it because I was on the show. But typically, Latinos in general don't really watch the show because they don't see anybody, they don't see themselves represented mm-hmm. on the show. So all of my friends are like, what's that? You know, so.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that now that there is a change, that people will be more excited to watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My last question before we go, what would you like to achieve in 2021, whether it be professional or personal?
Oh, wow. Let's see. If I'm doing personal, I would probably, my personal goal for 21 is to really let go of all of the trauma that I incurred while I was on Big Brother. That is very traumatic. Like, it is a very traumatic experience. It takes some time for you to not always look behind your back thinking someone is conspiring against you or talking crap about you or do they have your back or is like whispering something behind your back. Like it is kind of a mind F, you know? So that would kind of be more personal so that I can just kind of let go of Big Brother and take it as what it is, not personally, like take it not personal, but just as a game. Because sometimes it's really hard to differentiate the two. And then, like, professionally, like, I just want to be able to go back into my swing of things, you know, do more campaigns, work back on set, hopefully produce a couple of things. Yeah, and create content. Because I've realized that I've liked doing that and recapping.
Good.
I like recapping shows and being able to do things of that nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're watching anyways, so you might as well entertain and hang out with people that are watching.
Exactly. The community, I mean, as toxic as some of it may be, it is a great community of gamers. If you're into the Big Brother, Survivor, Sequester type of area, I love strategy. I love talking game. I'm quite honestly a bit competitive in a way, even, you know, so it fuels me. So I really do love that aspect of it. But knowing that there's a personal and then there, you know, it's like, it's a game. Yeah. It's a game.
It's official.
Just not take things personally.
Well, I want to thank you again so much for spending time to lend your voice to our podcast, to answer my questions and play my silly games.
No, I loved it. I had so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So I wish just the best and the brightest future professionally and personally for you in 2021. Everybody listening, I hope you're having a wonderful Thirsty Thursday, and we'll see you all next week. Bye.
It's official.